Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and what a special show we've got lined up for you. It is Champions Day on Saturday. We're going to be looking at every single race from Ascot, all the tips you can have for the big Saturday, the big finale of the flat season, and so much more. My name is James Stevens, Racing Post journalist, and joining me on the show to look through a stellar Saturday, we've got Graham Rodway in the top right corner. In the bottom left, we've got Tom Park and, as always, Ed Nicholson in the bottom right if you're watching along. Now, before we get stuck into the flat action, let's just talk a little bit of jumps because it's a big day in the Racing Post world. On Monday, the release of the big jump off. Absolutely everything you'll need ahead of the big season. Insight from Nicky Henderson, of course, the Unibet ambassador. We'll be hearing from him throughout the jump season, of course. But everything you need for the jump season, do not miss that Racing Post on Monday. But before we do that, we've got a hell of a day on the flat to look forward to. So without further ado, let's get stuck in to Ascot. We're going to start in race card order. We're going to go through every race this afternoon, starting with the 12:55, the Kipco British Champions Long Distance Cup, where we've got a repeat winner hoping to do it again, Trawlerman. Trawlerman is your 2-1 on favourite with Unibet. Stay True, Fraden O'Brien at 9-2, Sweet William at 6-1, Alcaram at 10-1, and Saratoga, the outsider, at 66-1. Tom Park, it's been a while since we've had you on the postcast. Great to have you back. Trawlerman, yes or no?
Yeah, great to be back. What a day to get stuck into as well. And a good rate. This is Group 1 now, so we can kick off the card with Group 1. Trawlerman, I think will win, yes. He's just a winning machine, and he doesn't really have any weaknesses anymore. I think his biggest weakness was Kyprios. And with Kyprios no longer on the scene, I just struggle to see how we can get Trawlerman beat. There's a lot of favourites on the card that some are decent prices, you might argue, and not all of them will win. I think Trawlerman will win. Whether I'll be getting stuck in at 1-2, probably not. But I certainly wouldn't want to lay him either. So, yeah, it'll be a no-bet race for me, but I think Trawlerman will get favourite backers off to a good start.
Yeah, sure. Let's bring in Graham Rodway. If you're watching along on YouTube, he's got quite the animation behind him as Graham. He certainly swapped the budgies. I don't suppose they're in the Racing Post offices, are they, Graham?
No budgies this week, James. I'm missing them already. You know, I've only spent 3 hours away from them, and I haven't. They're not here. You know, and they're not going to be able to chirp away at my losing tips. Anyway, what we want to know, this first race, Trawlerman obviously is a different gravy to the rest of them, isn't he? But it is the end of a fairly long season. You've got to say he's probably already run his peak performances this year. And he is facing a horse in Stay True that he hasn't come up against before, isn't he? That's one of the things with Trawlerman. He's beaten a lot of these already, hasn't he? I mean, Al-Kareem's finished behind him and Sweet William always finishes behind him. But we just don't know how good Stay True is, do we, for Aidan O'Brien, third in the St. Ledger. And if Stay True improves for the step up in trip, it'll be interesting to see if he can give Trawlerman a race. So obviously, I think Trawlerman's going to be very difficult to beat. But I'll be tempted to have a little bit on Stay True and hope that he improves enough, James.
Stay True, a little bit drift in the market, 9-2, having opened up at 4-1. Let's bring in Ed, who's looking immaculate in his black shirt, if you're watching along on YouTube. Ed, just give us a vibe on Champions Day for Unibet, a huge day in betting terms.
Yeah, really big day. Competitive handicap at the end of the field, at the end of the card, sorry. But yeah, really good to see kind of a top-class race. I've always been a bit of a damp squid on this race day, because it always seemed to me to be heavy and soft ground, and the good horses during the summer were running on good and faster. So I'm really delighted that the ground is going to be good. No rain forecast at all. Thursday when we're recording, there's no rain around Ascot for the next 2 or 3 days. So it will be good ground, and hopefully the best horse will win. You often see kind of strange results when the ground goes soft and heavy at this time of year, especially with the top class horses who've been running throughout the summer, as Graham said. And Trawlerman is one of those horses, it must be said. We put him in at 2-1 earlier on, and he's now 1-2, as you say. £301,000 for the winner, only five horses in the race. It's kind of quite sad, really, that the staying division isn't as competitive as it's been in years gone by. And Graham makes a good point about Stay True. You know, Trotterman hasn't come against him before. Could possibly be the fly in the ointment. But, yeah, Trotterman's got everything. Highest rated horse in the race. Six Ascot runs, two wins. Only been out of the frame once there. 2 mile-plus races, 5 out of 8. Got to win, hasn't he, first race?
Certainly seems the solid favourite. Well, anyone who's got that 2-1, Ed, will be certainly very happy looking at the declarations which have just come through as we record on Thursday afternoon. We're going to skip through to the 150, the 130, I should say. 130 at Ascot, the Kipco British Champions Day. 2-year-old condition stakes, a brand new race on the card, worth a hell of a lot of money, and none surprised to see all the big names represented. Words of truth for Godolphin, your 8-11 favourite. He shortened after Brussels, who was deemed to be the leading hope for Aynard Brahm, was not declared. Division for Wafnan is 5-1. Sir Albert at 17-2. Mission Central is the leading chance for O'Brien now at 10-1. Kansas also for the same team at 12s. Ardesia at 14s, along with Siren Suit. Let's go to you first, Graham. A new 2-year-old race on the card makes things a little bit more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why they've done it, to be honest. I mean, I thought Future Champions Day was last week, James. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this race, if I'm honest, on this card. I think that it's not in the same level or class as the other races on the day. Words of Truth, obviously being odds on as well, makes it even a bit of a damp squib from a punting perspective as well. Nevertheless, it's there, and somebody's got to win it, and I'm going to back one at a big price, you know. Gentle George, Mick Appleby's runner. I thought this horse ran a really good time last time at Haydock, and I was impressed with his attitude. He looked like he was going to get beat. And then he rallied really well to get back up and make it two wins on a row. Now, he's obviously got loads to find with the best of them, Words of Truth and Division and that lot. But he hasn't raced in the same sort of company that they have yet. So he's not been able to achieve a high RPR or a high BHA rating. And now that he goes into better company, I think he could run well at a huge price. I'm going to back Gentle George each way against the Fab here, James.
At 28-1, could be a good price. Gentle George's selection for Graham. Ed, a bit of a surprise reaction, I thought, from Graham. Not too blown away by the new 2-year-old race. Is it more up the Nicholson Street?
I find myself agreeing with Graham, which I often do. It's a strange race to have on this day. The difference in abilities just show you what kind of race it is. I think horses are rated from 84 to 112 here. So, I mean, there's a big difference in horses. And they're not horses that have only run and won once and got a rating. These are horses that have been running quite a few times. It's a strange race, to be honest, to put on this card. But Words of Truth has been back. 7-4 we opened up on Monday. And it's now currently 8-11 with us. Has been all the rage. It's the top-rated horse in the race by a long way. But that performance last time out, which got an RPR of 106, that was a big improvement on what he's shown before in his novice and his maiden wins. I just wonder if he needed that kind of good to soft ground to show that. And it's not going to be good to soft. The race that he won back then, the Mill Reef, was good to soft ground, almost 4 seconds slower than standard. I watched the video again, and he did run on, and he showed a bit of a high knee lift. You know what? I'm going to go for Division here, who won for me, won the Rockingham that I put up last time. And I noticed that William Haggis has won the Rockingham 3 times, including with this fella. And the other two horses went to the an all-weather trial at Newcastle back in late October. And William Haggis has seen this race and decided, hang on, I'll have a go at this. It's quite a good prize money. And Division's in form. So I'm going to take a chance with Division. I think he's probably the one to beat if you want to take on Words of Truth. And it ran about 7-1. I thought it's probably a good bet. Words of Truth obviously got the form in the book, but you know, I just thought there were one or two reasons you could take him on.
Okay, Division selection for Ed, and finally Tom.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Ed more. You're a brave man taking 8-11 about a horse in a race like this. Like, I appreciate a lot of these 2-year-old. It's a bit different to like a 2-year-old race at Royal Ascot where. They're a lot more unexposed. They've had a few more runs this season. won a Group 2. If you just look at the bare form, he's won it quite comfortably in the end. But I agree with Ed, like, he took a bit of getting going to catch the horse that went for home quite early. And the ground's going to be a bit quicker. There's no rain forecast over the next 48 hours, so it's only going to get quicker. And yeah, I was really taken by Division's performance at York, and I think he's definitely one that you can take the favourite on with here. And he's a fair price with the O'Brien horse coming out at 11 to 2. I thought he might be a little bit shorter than that when I saw that Brussels wasn't declared. That race at York wasn't, it was just a listed race, so it's not the Group 2 level that the favourite won at, but it was a good listed race. And he did it pretty cosy at the end. I think he got one tap and it was pretty much hands and heels to the finish. I think there's a bit more to come from him, so I wouldn't be taking his official rating as gold dust here. I think there could be a bit more to come. So yeah, I'm quite keen to take on the favourite with Division here.
Okay, Division, two shouts for Division. Let's move on to our third race of the day. This is when the top class rating really comes through now. This is the 205 at Ascot, the Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes, where a big, big challenge from Wafnan here, led, of course, by your favourite Lazat, winner at Royal Ascot earlier at Ascot in the summer. He is 7-2. Big Mojo, fresh from his Sprint Cup success at 9-2. Kind of Blue, last year's winner, 13-2, along with Montasip. A huge eye catcher on his only run this season at Newbury. Perhaps he's taken some of our pundits' eyes. Flora of Bermuda at 9-1, in a Sherin at 12, along with Rafka. Art Power, who produced a huge shock in this race a few years ago, is 18-1. Let's go to you first this time, Ed. What do you like in the big sprint?
I've got a strong fancy here. I really like Kind of Blue to do it again. Following last year's pattern, finishing second in the sprint up at Haydock and coming here. And I can see Kind of Blue running out of winners. Lots of horses here that have got chances on one bit of form over their last two or three years. But this horse is coming into the race just at the right time in the best of form. Didn't get the best of runs in the sprint, followed the winner through, got a bump two out. Don't think that would have made a difference, but likes Ascot, as we know. Big fan of James Fanshawe. He loves this race, James Fanshawe, since its inception at the Ascot, I think 2011, wasn't it? I think he's had 11 runners and three winners, including the Tin Man and Deacon Blues back in the day. And I just think that he's got a very good chance here. Incidentally, I was looking at how many horses win that Sprint Cup and then win this race. There's hardly any. The horses that come second, third and fourth have got a better record, which is incredible. I think 16 horses in the last, since 2011, have finished second, third or fourth. And then four of them have won this race, obviously including Kind of Blue. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Kind of Blue to do it again.
OK, Kind of Blue for the Fanshawes. What are you going for, Tom?
Yeah, Kind of Blue is on my shortlist. It's a funny race, this. If you're going strictly off that Royal Ascot run, Lazat's a big price, isn't he? I mean, he's gone off 1-2 and even money on his last two starts. You're getting 4-1 here. These next three races could make us look a little bit silly taking on these favourites, because it could actually prove they're miles clear on ratings and they could just prove better than the rest. My problem with Lazat is his form figures are going down and down, and his run in the Murray's to Geest actually wasn't too bad, probably good enough to win this race. But he then regressed even further in the Sprint Cup, and these sprinters, you often need to catch them when they're firing. The two that I, as similar lines said, the two that I drew it down to were Kind of Blue and Flora of Bermuda. Flora of Bermuda is twice the price of Kind of Blue, which seems a little bit steep given that there was only a nose between the two of them in the Sprint Cup. Now, I appreciate that Kind of Blue didn't get the clearest of runs, and Flora Bermuda has drawn one, which may be a problem. I think I will probably be watching the two-year-old race with open eyes and seeing exactly if there is any sort of draw bias, because you do have to be careful with Ascot, particularly when the ground's drying. I will keep an eye on that. I probably will still back Flora Bermuda. She's very consistent. She did run a poor race in the July Cup, but she missed the start and there was genuine excuses. Apart from that, she's pretty rock solid. And while she's got a lot to find on that Royal Ascot run with Lazat, I'm not convinced that that Lazat is actually going to turn up here. And they're pretty much, they're all close together. So I might, depending on the draw bias, if there is one, I might have a saver on Kind of Blue as well, because I don't think there's a lot between them. But both of them, I think, will be right in the frame and represent some pretty good each way value.
Okay, so the one you're leaning to, Parky, is Flora Bermuda at 9-1. Okay, let's come to you, Graham, the big sprint.
If it was soft ground, I'd really fancy Art Power to run a big race, because he was in really good form last time at the Curran. He's obviously won this race before in a good time a few years ago, but I can't have him on this sort of ground. So I think I stick with Big Mojo, James. I think that he's just improving at the right time of year. He's obviously a three-year-old, isn't he? He's, you know, he's younger than the majority of these horses, and we know that he comes into his absolute peak because he produced a career best last time out at Haydock, one of the best recent times in the field. And if he runs to that sort of rating again, I think he'll go very close. Big Mojo is a course and distance winner, so we know he exits the track too.
Perfect. And before we go, Ed, we got a little offer on this race.
Yeah, choose your offer, really. We've got the money back second or third in this contest, and also one of three, I think, on ITV races where we offer an extra place. Incidentally, I should tell you where the money's gone. Big Mojo, 10s into 9-2 over the last few weeks. And Montasip, after that good run after a long layoff, was backed at 14s into 13-2. But I think he probably wants it softer, doesn't he? I think probably needs a bit softer. But yeah, that's been a money horse as well.
Okay, good to know where the money is. Let's see where it is. In the 245 at Ascot, the Kipco British Champions, Fillies and Mares Stakes, we're going to get to see Kalpana, somewhat surprisingly, having a quick turnaround after finishing seventh in the Arc. She'll have a race 13 days on from Longchamp, and she is your 5-2 favourite to reclaim this race. She's taking on Estrange 4-1, of course, missed the Arc, Estrange. Wadar at 6-1, Quizana at 7s, Bedtime Story 9-1. We might take the long way at 10s. Danielle 12s, along with One Look. Latica 14s and Ballet Slippers 22-1. Outsider Graham Estrange, she had the nightmare draw in the Arc and didn't get to run. You think, well, she's definitely going to get conditions at Ascot, and she certainly hasn't got her conditions at Ascot. It's been a bit of a nightmare autumn for Estrange. Can she bounce back? Can she get her big win?
Their connections must be pulling their hair out, mustn't they, over Estrange? She's been very unlucky because there's always bad ground here, isn't it, as Ed said earlier, but not this year. That doesn't mean she can't win, of course. So, you know, she was second behind Mini Hawk last time on fast ground. I couldn't back her at the price on this sort of ground. I'm also not sure how good Mini Hawk is, as I've said on podcast before. And Kalpana was the other horse who again, I think is quite an overrated horse, and was well held, wasn't she, in the Arc?
No surprise to you, that G-Rod, was it?
What's that?
No surprise to you, the Arc result for you?
No surprise. Like I said, Mini Hawk, you know, very, very average horse, and wouldn't win the Arc, and she didn't, and Kalpana, yeah, well held too. So yeah, that was a good result for me, that. I think Bedtime Story might win this. Remember, was it last year she was probably the most impressive two-year-old winner of the lot at the track. She absolutely bolted up, didn't she, in one of the races. Was it the Chesham? I think it might have been. I back at Ascot with Sumi on her here, suggesting that it could be she could be the pick of the O'Brien horses. I can just see it happening. A sudden bounce back to form for Bedtime Story. Last time out at Longchamp, she actually finished the race off quite well over a mile and six furlongs. I think she was finished seventh, but she was around about fourth or fifth quickest over the last furlong. Suggested to me she still had a bit of running to left in her, and that she's peaking at the right time. So yeah, sudden bounce back to form for Bedtime Story for me, back at Ascot, where she was so good last season.
She is 9-1. Does that represent good each way value for you, Tom?
Yeah, I actually backed her a couple of days ago. She's very interesting. In the Ascot element, adds to that, I think. She was so impressive in the Chesham, albeit it's a completely different trip and course. Appreciate that. But returning to the scene of her greatest triumph, I could see a big upturn in form here. And she's not been running anywhere near as badly as people quite think this season. She ran a really good race behind Aventure a couple of starts ago, staying on well. I think she's beaten a few lengths. Last time out, she was running over 1.6 miles. Like, I just don't think she stayed. You can easily forgive her that run. And she didn't have an overly hard race at the finish either. So while she's had, I think she had an extra day over than the R courses to get over, I'm not sure she quite had the hard race that Kalpana and the French horse did. She's learned to settle this season, and she's got better and better, and that's allowed her to kind of step up to these sort of trips. She's too headstrong last season. And she was always going to be better over these kind of middle distance trips. Now she's learned to settle. I mean, the fact that they've even ran her over 1.6 miles, you would never have thought that a few starts ago. I think she's got what it takes, and she wouldn't be the first Ballydoyle horse to kind of course through the three-year-old season, getting beaten, then turning up at one of these group ones and just see a massive uptick in form. Yeah, I think she's got a good chance. She has more than halved in price since I backed her a couple of days ago, but I still wouldn't be scared of backing her, I don't think. There's too many question marks over the favourites. I mean, Kalpana could make us look silly, like I said before. These three favourites, she's the best horse on ratings. But, and people maybe overread too much into the arc. Like, horses still come to this meeting and win after running the arc. I wouldn't be too worried about that. I'd be more worried that the ground is drying out, and she's not won this season. Like, she's ran in races that she should have won as well. Appreciate she's ran in the King George and the Ark and against good horses, but she's been a disappointment. Let's not beat about the bush. Connections will not be happy with how Kalpana her season's kind of panned out this year. She's got a chance to recover it somewhat, but not for me. Estrange, the ground's a big issue. Connections seem genuinely gutted as well that she was out of the Ark, which makes me think that she indeed had a bit of a niggle, and whether she's fully over that, I suppose time will tell. She has an action that suggests she's going to be better on softer ground. We've just not really seen her on it. Her run behind Mini Hawk was all right, but you suspect Mini Hawk had a bit more in the tank that day as well, if needed. Yeah, I think everything's pointing to a bit of a surprise here, and I think Bedtime Story's got the potential to be a lot better than she's proven. It's Bedtime Story for me.
Bedtime Story for Tom. Ed, what has the market been like for Kalpana? Because there's been some uncertainty about whether we'd see her. We obviously don't know how well she's going to perform given the quick turnaround. What's the market been telling us?
Well, everyone wasn't expecting to see her here, so she was as big as 10 to 1. Everyone thought it'd be the Ark, and then that's it, maybe possibly over the Breeders' Cup. But so 10 to 1 was available not long ago, into 5 to 2. She will be one of the worst results for us. She has been well backed. People sort of obviously getting to know that she was going to go here earlier on than we did. So, yeah, will be the worst result on the race. But I'll tell you what, Graham and Tom have not been snoozing, have they? Because I fancy Bedtime Story as well. And I've seen the reasons, I've listened to the reasons why both Graham and Tom have given, and they're exactly the same for me. I mean, first of all, I think you can take on the favourites for the reasons that Tom's explained. And Graham's kind of, this horse put in one of the performances of the year last year when she won the Chesham. She was cut to 3 to 1 favourite for the 1,000 guineas following that performance. Such was the demolition. And she'd been running in group ones all her life as three-year-olds. This will be a 7th continuous group one race, possibly 8th, actually. And it's unbelievable that following that Ascot run, she hasn't really progressed into a group one winning filly. She won a couple of races at 1 to 16 following that Ascot run, but she's not done it since. But I just think this kind of race is set up for a big shock. And she was as big as 33 to 1 earlier in the week. I wonder if Tom got that. But now down to 9. So yeah, I'm going to make it. I think we're all going for bedtime story, which is incredible.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be that much of a shot then, or maybe it would. We'll see.
Well, she's still 10-1.
Yeah, cheers. Right, we will come on to the highlight races of Champions Day after this short break. Okay, time to get into the real crunch races on Champions Day, starting with the 3:25 at Ascot, the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes. What an absolute belter we've got here. Will Field of Gold bounce back? So brilliant at Ascot, arguably the performance of the season. Well, he's 7-4 to repeat it in the QE2. Rosalian, 100-30. Fallen Angel has been in prolific form, is 6-1 to strike for Carl Burke. Never So Brave at 10s. Docklands, winner of the Queen Anne, he's got his conditions by some surprise, is 12-1. Factor Chevelle and the Lion in Winter, one of the disappointments of the season, you'd have to say, he's 14-1. Alxani at 18-1. Marvel Man, 22s. And Dancing Gem, now the last one we do at 28-1. Graham, the QE2, Field of Gold. Are we for or against?
By the price, I'll take him on here, James. I thought he was very, very disappointing at Goodwood. Yes, it was a falsely run race and there were some very poor rides in behind Kira, who obviously stole it off the front. But nevertheless, Field of Gold didn't really show anything, did he? I mean, he pulled, he was keen, and then he didn't even finish off the race very well off a slow pace. Now I know that they all came out with the excuses, didn't they, afterwards, as to be expected, this went wrong and that went wrong and he wasn't right and there was some nonsense that they said, but essentially, you know, he was miles away from the horse that we saw earlier in the season when he won here in June. I thought it was probably the most impressive performance at Royal Ascot since Frankel, when he won the St James's Palace there. But I wonder if he's peaked and if he's on his way down. He's had 80 days off the track. They're bringing him back right at the end of the season. I remember he was primed for the 2,000 guineas. You know, he won the Craven Stakes, didn't he, in April? So I just think he has to be taken on. You've got to be looking for horses at this time of the season who are ready to peak. And I'm going to take a chance on Johnny Murta's runner, Alakazi. I was just very impressed with the way that he won at Leopardstown last time out. The form is obviously away from what's needed, but it was a Group 2 race and he did it well in a solid time. He's very lightly raced and looks to be peaking at the right time for me. So I'm taking on the fab here, James, Alakazi, at a big price.
18-1 with Unibet. Big price indeed for Alakazi. Let's come to you, Tom. You're also going to go against the favourite here. You got two for us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum, this. Field of Gold is a bigger price than I was expecting him to be. I know G-Rod said there that he's kind of happy to take him on. I wouldn't want him going much bigger to take. I wouldn't fancy laying him at much bigger anyway. I think he's getting to a price that I can absolutely understand why people would be tempted to back him. But he's also got quite a few questions to answer here. It was a pretty poor, well, there's no beating about the bush. It was a poor run at Goodwood for reasons that G-Rod quite rightly pointed out. Now, can you just put a line through that? I'm not sure you can. That was his first run in senior company as well. So he's still got to prove that he's actually, that these 3-year-olds are better than the older horses. The problem is, Rosalian's a shorter price as well than I was expecting. And then you're looking at some big prices to take him on with. So I am going to take him on with two at big prices, one at a really big price. The first is Docklands, who is drawn high as well, along with Field of Gold. He just loves it here at Ascot. As he said, the conditions are coming right for him. And I think he's almost certainly going to run a big race. You might get some extra places here and there. If you do, I think he'd be one to consider. Carl Spackler is the other, who is drawn low. He's a massive price at 66-1. Bear in mind, just two starts ago, he was 15-2 for the Queen Anne. and he was pretty much last off the bridle. I think he hit the front at one point. I could see him massively outrunning his odds here. He also ran in the Sussex Stakes and ran no race, but he was held up at the back and similar field of goal, to be honest, a bit keen and just didn't finish off his race. He was a very good horse in the US. He's only had two starts over here, so this season. So he maybe just come into the boil, and William Buick's on board. I mean, it would be a bit of a turnout for the books that a horse from Gosden's Yard was to go and win the race that Field of Gold is in. But he was rated 100, he recording RPRs in the 120s in America. He's a good horse on his day. And he showed enough in the Queen Anne for me to think that he's still got a big run in him when things fall right. And 66-1, you can certainly take a chance on him. So yeah, I'm going to take a chance on two here against the favourite. First is Docklands each way, and the second is Carl Spackler.
Yep, 12-1 Docklands, 50-1 now Carl Spackler. A little bit of interest since declarations. Ed, before we touch on your fancy, we should mention Rosalian, of course, Richard Hannon being the Unibet ambassador. What's the verdict on his chances ahead of a weekend? Surely it's got to be his time. It's been the most gut-wrenching of seasons for Rosalian.
It's unbelievable that he hasn't won a race this year, isn't it? I mean, people were talking about, well, Richard was talking about him being one of the best kind of three into four-year-olds that he's had for a long time. But he's been a bit unlucky, as we all know. You would think finally this could be his day. The ground's kept okay for him this time. Obviously, he can't run on anything with a bit of cut in it or soft. So this ground will suit. We've got a video from Richard personally talking about Rosalian on our site, so do have a look at that. He's been the horse of the week as well. I mean, Calpana's our biggest worst result, but we've seen most kind of consistent support for Rosalian, sevens down to 100-30 we were at time of recording. And I spoke to our traders before coming onto the show and just asked, you know, what's the one horse that we're going to try to get? And they said Field of Gold. That's the one they want to lay. And as has already been mentioned on this podcast, he's already getting to a decent price. And when we put him in at 6-4, he's now, I think, 2-1. I mean, you could get 9-4 on this horse, which would be a very big price. I think we all agree.
Do you think he'll drift out further, Ed? Do you think he'll continue to drift?
I can't see him getting to 5-2, 5-3s, because that's a hell of a price, isn't it? I think possibly 9-4, 5-2 might be the top. But you might, with continued support for Rosalian, you might get flip-flopping favourites. You never know. But I think Field of Gold's got that wow factor. People think back, you know, to midsummer. This would be a hell of a price. But I think there's reasons for taking him on, as everyone has mentioned.
Are you taking him on, Ed?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the same camp as Tom. I'm going to go for two each way selections. We are going extra place. Tom will be glad to know in this race. And I wouldn't put anyone off backing Docklands each way with us. I can't see how he's not going to run in the first four. I really can't. He loves Ascot. I mean, the line through Rosalian, he's got to have a chance that Rosalian has. He loves Ascot. He'll be coming from the right side of the track. He'd be drawn with Field of Gold and Rosalian. I can't see how he can be thrown out the four with us. So the extra place would coming useful. And Fallen Angel, no one's spoken about Fallen Angel. Filly in form. The Racing Post quote as saying that this is the best Sun Chariot winner bar in Spiral for the last 20 years. And she's got to have a great chance. I think the fact that Carl Burke sends her here after that win just 2 weeks ago suggests that she's in form. She is obviously taking on the colts and geldings, but I just think this is a filly in form, and I think that she's got a great chance. So again, she has been nibbled at, though. She's been from 10s down to 15-2. The money's already coming for this one. And Tamfana finished third in the Sun Chariot last year won the Sun Chariot last year before finishing third in this race. So I think the form is there.
Okay, well, you're going against the sires, geldings, jumpers, chasers, hurdlers, bumper horses, the lot. We're Fallen Angel. We got there. Let's move on to the highlight of the day. And, well, we'll have some future stallions in this race for sure. The 405 at Ascot, the Kipco Champion Stakes. And at the top of a market is potentially one of the stars of the season, if not the star of the season, is Omnisman. He is your 7-4 favourite with Unibet as it stands. Calandagan certainly won't be a stallion at 5-2. Delacroix, surprised we didn't see his retirement party. We're going to get him one more run out of Delacroix. He's joint 5-2 favourite as well for Aidan O'Brien. Economics not seen since the Champion Stakes last year, 14-1 for a pretty sensational comeback. Al Makam, who beat Obmansman at the start of this year, is 16-1. Almeric, 16-1. Fox Legacy, 18s. First Look, 22s. Prague, 100-1. Devil's Advocate, 125-1, along with Mount Kilimanjaro. These two, of course, likely to be pacemakers. Now, Graham, the pacemaker works so well for Omnisman at the Judmont International. So before we get into your selection, how do you envisage this race playing out? Because there's different ways you can look at it from a pace perspective.
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't actually work out very well. Well, I suppose the result worked out for him.
Yes.
At York. But it was still muddling race, wasn't it? Because the jockeys still decided they'd ignore the pacemaker, and they were just very, very lucky that the pacemaker wasn't good enough to win. I mean, really, the pacemaker, you know, he went too fast, and the jockeys in behind went too slow, and then it ended up turning into two different races, with the race that Ombudsman won actually turning into a sprint, and the pacemaker going too fast. And I think if the jockey on the pacemaker last time out of York had judged the pace a little bit better, he probably would have won. And then we would have had two Kirats in the same year. You know, it was just a weird race. And you'd be very, very concerned about the possibility of it happening again, wouldn't you? Because it's the same set of jockeys, isn't it? Essentially, you were involved in this. And if you're going to, I mean, you can ask me all the old great jockeys about pacemakers. You know, there's no point in having a pacemaker if you're not going to follow them. So if these jockeys all decide not to follow the pacemaker and just let them go off like they did at York and like they did when Kirat won at Goodwood, then who knows what could happen? You know, it could end up being a total chaos again. But let's hope that we get a proper race where they, you know, that they go a solid pace. They don't let the pacemakers go miles and miles ahead, and that the best horse wins on the day. I don't think the best horse is Delacroix. I think that he's the least likely to win out of the big three. I thought he was quite fortunate at Sandown to beat Ombudsman in again, another muddling race that turned into a bit of a sprint. Yes, he's gone on and won again since, but he's another horse who's had a long season. He was on the go. I think he won that. Was it in March, I think, the Bally Sachs? Was it in March? Yeah, back in March. So, yeah, he's going to take a monstrous horse to continue to churn out top-class performances at this time of the season. I do think it's between Ombudsman and Calandagan. I'm just a little bit concerned that Ombudsman was so good on fast ground in the middle of the summer, and maybe he's peaked already. Whereas I always feel with the French horses, Calandagan, like the French train their horses to peak at this time of the season. They train them to peak for the arc and the back end of the year. And for that reason, I'd just have Calandagan on top of Ombudsman. He's not one of my strongest fancies or even one of my biggest betting races of the day. It's a watching race for me. But if I was going to plan it, I'll have Calandagan over Ombudsman. I'll have Delacroix out the free.
Yep, I would have Calandagan myself, and now he can finally win a race, having had his earlier exploits. Thank you for that very detailed look at the Champion Stakes. Tom, what's your verdict on this race? Are you with Graham taking on Ombudsman?
Yeah, I'm in the Calandagan camp as well. Just think he's really high class. I think he's the best middle distance horse of the season, to be honest, and a lot of the form is pointing that way. That said, look, Ombudsman and Delacroix are very, very good horses. I slightly disagree with Graham in the fact that I'm not sure that Ombudsman is much further ahead than Delacroix. I think the O'Brien camp were desperate to have another go at Ombudsman after York. It certainly didn't help his chances. My one fear with Delacroix is he kind of put a lot into winning the Irish Champion Stakes, didn't he? It was almost like explosive way to, I'm almost surprised that he's here. And yeah, it was a big run at Leopardstown, and whether he can reproduce that, he's going to have to, because this is a better race. I'm not so sure. And I just think Calandagan, the way that he travels through his races, he seems to have answered any critics that people had of him in the finish. In his last couple of starts, he's starting to finish off his races really strongly. I just think he's going to take an awful lot of beating. I think he'll be last off the bridle. And I just think that he's going to prove a little bit better than these. And yeah, I'm probably a little bit more keen than G-Rod. I will be having a bet. I think 11 to 4 is fair. I think he's the best horse in the race. So yeah, I'm in the Calandagan camp.
The Calandagan camp. Bit of a mouthful that, Tom, but we got there. let's see if Ed is joining the team as well.
Well, first of all, this is an industry best price race. So from 12 midday on Saturday, you don't need to go anywhere else. We will have the best price on every horse in the Champion Stakes for the 405. It's been a very... The race so far, from an Antipost point of view, has been very even. We've seen lots of spreads of money. This is probably the best race for us, Antipost. We've got plenty of winners coming into the race. Calandagan, having said that, has been the steadiest. 4s, 5 to 2. That's the market level for Calandagan. Delacroix was available at 10s. Now 5 to 2. Aidan O'Brien's not got a great record in this race. He's had one winner since he's gone to Ascot in 2011 from 19 runners. Magical back in the day. And I think Ombudsman will win. Yeah, I think it's straightforward, really. Ombudsman's, I think there's only three horses that can win it. Calandagan would definitely be an option. Delacroix would be my third. There's a treble. There's a tri-cast, if you could do a tri-cast in a group one. Ombudsman, Calandagan, and Delacroix in betting order. The one that's interesting is Economics, because he was 2 to 1 for this race last year. He hasn't raced since. And I was desperate to find a horse that has won a group one, having been off the track for over 363 days. And I can't find one. So unless anyone can tell me, I can't find one horse that's won a group one race in England and Ireland, having run within a year. So it's a huge ask for Economics to win. I think Ombudsman's the most likely winner, and I think he will win.
Okay, Ombudsman, the selection for Ed. We're going to have a very quick look at the final race of the day, a huge punting puzzle to finish off. Most competitive race of the day. Who will come out on top in the Balmoral Handicap? Your favourite at 9 to 2 is Native Warrior. Warrior Shout at 11 to 2. Crown of Oaks, 6. Fifth Column, 7. Sahelian Bay at 9 to 1, bit of a mouthful for me. Arasak at 12 to 1, along with Greek Order. Nice and quick, Graham. Who wins the Balmoral?
I think Crown of Oaks is very interesting, James. It was so good at the track a couple of starts ago. Absolutely bolted up and went off odds on for a 21 runner handicap at the Curra just 8 days later. I mean, maybe that race came up a little bit too soon. And I think you'll see a different performance from Crown of Oaks back at Ascot, and crucially back down to a mile. When he's won here previously, it was over a mile and a quarter. I think a strongly run stiff mile will suit Crown of Oaks well. And I'd have him over the favourite Native Warrior, although Native Warrior's got an absolutely impeccable record at the track and looks certain to run well again.
Yep, Crown of Oaks 6 to 1. Ed?
Yeah, the money's been for Native Warrior after last time win at Ascot. Crown of Oaks is another one that's been backed. And the one I'm going to go for is Fifth Column. Has come into form, probably was a little bit too far last time in the Cambridgeshire, back to a distance that he can cope with, a mile. Gosden and Buick to finish the day off with a winner. 20 to 1 into 13 to 2 with Unibet. And I'm going to get on the bandwagon and go with Fifth Column. Extra place
in the race as well. Extra place in the race as well, if you didn't hear that. And Tom, finish us off. The Balmoral Handicap.
Shout! We'll win the Balmoral. So impressive at Ascot last time. Clearly pitching him up for this, you would think. Up £9, but I don't think that certainly wouldn't have stopped him that day anyway. He won ever so easily. Trained by Simon and Ed Crisford, who are masters at these kind of races, ridden by O'Sheen Murphy's, probably none better than him on this kind of track. Yeah, I think everything's pointing to a massive run from Shout. One of my bigger fancies for the day.
Big fancy in the last for Tom. Well, we'll be finding out whether that is indeed his nap of the day, along with all the rest, after a word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Right, let's find out what our best bets of Champions Day are. And we're going to start with you. Our top tips to Graham Rodway. Take us away.
I'm going to go with Bedtime Story, 245 at Ascot, for a unanimous decision for a winner for all of us, James.
That's just what we like to see, unanimous on the final day of a flat season. Tom, what about you?
I'm going to end the day in style with Shout in the 440 Balmoral Handicap.
Will he be shouting from the rooftops? We certainly hope so. That Shout for Tom Park. I'm going to go for Calandagan. A lot of us agree on this one in the Champion Stakes at 405. Like many of the pundits have said there, just feel this horse is going to continue improving in the back end of the season. And he's so classy on his day. So Calandagan for me in the Champion Stakes at 405. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, in the sprint at 205, Kind of Blue, do what he did last year, second in the sprint, and then come to win this not long later, and follow the great record for James Fanshawe on this race. He's won it with Kind of Blue, with the Tin Man, and with Deacon Blues. And if he does win, I'll buy a ship and call it Dignity, because I really think the Kind of Blue will win for James Fanshawe.
I thought we'd got to the end of a show without some sort of reference, Ed, but there we go. Slammed in right at the end, just like a good striker would. Thank you very much to our panelists. That's Graham Rodway, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. And thanks for you for watching along. Any fancies, any thoughts on the show, do make sure to get in the comment and throw us a like if you are enjoying our Racing Post content. Now, we've got a special show for you next week because we are going to be back at Cheltenham. The jump season rolls back to Cheltenham next week. Cannot wait to have it, although we could do with a little bit of rain here in Jump Racing HQ. Don't forget to get a hold of the big jump off on Monday. Stellar content for the jump season. But for now, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy Champions Day. And of course, gamble responsibly.